When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Dr. Evers, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sly. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, I never hear people when they interview talk to you about what your most what you feel is your biggest accomplishment at the job and the imprint you feel like you've been able to make.
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a great. You're right. I don't get to that as much. I would say, there's several, key dot points, and I'll just rattle some of them off. Right? Suspensions are down across the state. Expulsions are down across the state. We still score pretty high on the ACT test as far as getting college expectations. 90% of our districts are meeting expectations on our accountability system. One of the things that I'm really proud of, and we've worked hard on this, is we've doubled the number of kids who are taking dual enrollment courses where they receive high school credit and college credit at the same time. That, of course, is it's a good opportunity for kids to deal with college-level courses, but it also helps save some money when they do go to college. So those are kind of a rundown of things, but I'll tell you, Sly, I get into schools about once a week, and the things I see kids doing in school is just extraordinary, and that's what gives me the most pleasure. I mean, and we've got some good data points, but I'll tell you, the work that our teachers and kids are doing in our schools is just exemplary. We have problems, absolutely, but we have some just great things that parents are really proud of in our schools.
Yeah, I agree. A number of years ago, I went back to my alma mater. Matter of fact, I went back there this summer for their 50th anniversary at Madison Memorial, and the things they were doing at that school, because it's a very different school. And when I went there, sure, the late Bruce Dahman, the principal there, just remarkable.
Yeah. And not to put numbers to something like that, because it is qualitative, but over the last two general elections, both last November and the April before that, 600,000 people in the state of Wisconsin voted to increase their own taxes, to increase their own taxes so that their local public schools stay strong. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of Republicans and Democrats both saying, our schools, we like it, we love what they're doing. We actually want to increase taxes on ourselves in order to make that happen. I would love to take credit for that, but I'll tell you, it's the local people that are really doing the job.
You're really one of the first superintendents that's had to combat being superintendent of a public school system. At the same time, the legislature is taking money and funding another system that you don't have much control over. You have some control over, but you have very, very little control over. How much more difficult does that make it? I know people are voting to improve things at their own schools for referendums, but it's still, funding is down.
Yeah, funding, and that's exactly the point. I mean, yes, it's being very supportive of their local kids, but the bottom line is they're really doing it because the state hasn't held up their part of the bargain. And, and as our good friend Dale Schultz used to say regularly, we can barely afford one school system, but now we're essentially doing two and three, I guess, if we count expanding it statewide. So yeah, that's been an issue. I mean, but I will say that there's never been an instant where I thought that the Republicans haven't been transparent on this. They have made it their goal to put a voucher in every kid's backpack, and they're getting there. The thing that bothers me the most about that is that much of that money, the vast majority of it actually, is going to support kids that didn't leave public schools. They're already in the private schools. And so essentially what we've done is we've subsidized private and parochial school education in the state. And, it's passed muster in the Supreme Court and both the state and federal level. So it's not like that's going to happen, that's going to change overnight. But that people need to know that's exactly what's happening. We're now funding two systems, and it's not causing a great exodus of kids from the public schools. It's supporting the kids that are already in the private schools.
You've had an initiative to improve education for each and every student, but you know, that's actually in the state constitution that each student get a great education. And you've had an initiative to do so, and it's been very difficult. You've had headwinds. Can you say that each student in the state of Wisconsin gets an equal positive education?
No, I wish I could. My goal is to have a system that distributes the resources in an equitable way. I mean, that's where we kind of fall off the wagon. I was shocked and somewhat pleased that the governor's budget had a $650 million upper, but it's all contingent on it being distributed equally. Well, that doesn't cut it. I mean, in the state of Wisconsin, we have children that have extraordinary needs that come from extraordinary poverty, and if we want to help lift them up, we need to provide more money for them. That's what equity is about. Equality has a nice ring to it, but equity has a more important ring to it in that we're getting the money to the kids that need it the most.
And taking money away from school districts because they don't go along with every edict that you offer up is far, or not you, but the governor offers up in Act 10 and how they compensate teachers. What do you think about that?
Well, that's kind of a weird one in my book. Act 10 happened, you know, and it's history. And the idea that there was some magical definition of Act 10 compliant, that just never was in the state statute. That's something that's been made up on the fly. So I oppose that. I mean, districts that aren't causing their teachers to pay 12%, they made other adjustments in their budget. And Monona Grove's a good example. They had it, the teachers were paying 10% or 12%, and then the district went out and rebid their health insurance, and by golly, they had enough savings that they gave part of that savings to their folks that work for them. Is that something we should say that's wrong? That's a wrong idea? I think it's a stretch. I think it's reaching, the state reaching into the local school district decision-making.
You know, the school superintendent job is nonpartisan. And probably for good reason. It should be nonpartisan. There aren't Republican kids and Democratic kids as far as their learning. Their learning is supposed to be something that every student in the state has an equal opportunity. But if you go back, the person that maybe last identified herself as a more conservative school superintendent would have been Barbara Thompson. I'm showing you how old I am, Tony.
I worked for her.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did. So,
Is that fair to say that she was probably the last superintendent that would have identified herself as more conservative?
Yeah, I would say, but just barely. I mean, my guess in this day and age, she'd be considered self-proclaiming liberal.
She just passed away a couple of years ago, right?
Yes, she did. Yes, I like Barbara.
But I noticed one of the things she had listed as her accomplishments was making sure the teachers go back and get continuing education. Yep. I don't know if you remember when that happened, but it happened, right?
Yep, absolutely, absolutely.
The governor is proposing that stop. What do you think about that?
Yeah, his idea is around, you know, making lifetime licenses, and that's controversial to say the least. But the bottom line is, we absolutely have to make sure that we send a message to our parents and our grandparents and people in the communities of Wisconsin that our teachers care about professional development. They want to be involved with continuous improvement. The art of teaching changes dramatically over time. I mean, think about the diversity that we have in our schools now that we didn't have before. And that diversity calls for people to be more culturally competent than they ever have been. And so, yeah, there's absolute need to have that continuous improvement. And the last thing we need is to send a message that our teachers aren't in favor of continuous improvement, because they are. I talk to them all the time.
Dr. Tony Evers with us. He is Wisconsin school superintendent. He is running for re-election. The election is April 4th. You're at sliesoffice.com.
If you listen to this podcast, you clearly appreciate quality. Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson is a multifaceted guitar shop offering guitar instruction, new and used guitars and amplifiers, and all accessories. We offer guitar repair of the highest quality. Instead of experiencing the total hassle of a big box store or a snarky boutique, Take the scenic drive to Fort Atkinson and experience what total customer satisfaction is all about. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic. We love guitars.
Tony, let me ask you a little bit about this race. Because it was quite contentious in the primary between your opponents. And I found that the dialogue between them, and there was an appearance where Dr. Holtz was on with Greg Newman on a Sunday morning show and on Channel 27. I watched that and my jaw dropped when Greg Newman handed him those papers. And he said, well, that was just a broad outline. They had conspired to set up some sort of sweetheart deal so they could each cover their bases had they run on whether you call it a broad outline or not. Who was this person they were meeting with? And didn't Dr. Holtz disqualify himself for public office by being involved in that?
Well, I'll tell you, I've run this a couple times at one. And I will tell you, I've never, ever felt, even with very conservative candidates opposing me, that that trust and honesty would be an issue in this campaign. Absolutely, it's an issue in this campaign. That not only were they trying to cut each other a sweetheart deal, but most importantly, I mean, all that kind of stuff is somewhat, you know, people can laugh about it and joke about it. But the fact of the matter is, they were talking about taking apart the five largest school districts in the state and getting rid of the school boards and handing those whatever schools might be struggling, instead of providing assistance to them, they were going to hand them over to either a charter operator or a voucher operator. I mean, really? I mean, that is way beyond what this position has always been. I'm really disappointed in it, and I think it does disqualify him as a candidate.
And if you put this piece of the puzzle in there parenthetically, the fact that in some of these emails, he's basically saying, you know, I'll run if these outside groups fund my campaign. I mean, to me, you're running for superintendent of Wisconsin's public education system. You're not running as a Betsy DeVos voucher advocate.
Yeah, but he is. That's the deal.
Of course, right? look what position she holds now. So
yeah, right. Yeah, and, but he made it clear right from the get-go that he felt his path of victory is to get outside voucher money, and that I've seen that work in this state. Believe me, I have people that I've watched get absolutely destroyed by candidates who get the voucher money and they run independent expenditure ads and just destroy other candidates.
You know what, though? They don't run on the issue. Those groups do not run as, you know, they have a right to advocate for whatever they want, but they don't run on that issue. That's not what they use that money for to talk to the people about. They smear people, but they don't talk about, you know, taking money out of the public education system in, you know, Wanakee or Westford or any other situation and putting it into vouchers. They don't talk about that.
No, and that's not their MO. And so right from the get-go, Lowell has decided that he's no longer part of the public school system, and that his goal is to be the candidate for Betsy DeVos. And that's really unfortunate. I mean, it doesn't really have a clear goal at the end, except for possibly privatizing our system.
Obviously. He defended Act 10, and one of the things he defended Act 10, Lowell Holtz defended Act 10 with, is saying, well, when he was a superintendent before Act 10, he used to have to lay teachers off, and now he doesn't have to do that. Now, you've been all over the state. You're raised in Plymouth. You were in Oakfield. You've been in Toma. You've been in Verona. When you were a school superintendent, did you have to lay people off all the time, and was it because we didn't have Act 10?
No, we occasionally had layoffs, but it's because the state wasn't putting their money into the game. That's just ridiculous. I oppose Act 10. I continue to oppose its ramifications going forward. I mean, when people say it saved money, yeah, it did. It took it right out of the teachers' pockets, and so you can only go to that well so often. And the most important part of it, Sly, is that it's left a lasting impression. In order to pass Act 10, teachers had to be demonized and public servants had to be demonized. And that's exactly what happened, and that's why we're having dramatic, not just small, but dramatic decreases in the number of young people that want to become teachers. They tell me, we don't want to become a teacher because we don't want to work with a target on our back. So Act 10 absolutely has made a difference. That negative rhetoric has to stop. And frankly, that thing you're talking about before with being Act 10 compliant for districts, that raises that specter once again. It just brings it up. Teachers are, you know, gouging the system. Teachers are, you know, getting this break that nobody else has. We got to give that a rest, or we will have no people in the pipeline.
Although I have to admit, I'm biased. Before I was born, my mother when we lived in Milwaukee, was a teacher in the inner city of Milwaukee. So I'm always going to stand up for teachers.
Yeah, you have to. They need that support slide.
Well, to her dying day, she remembered, even when she had a little bit of dementia, she remembered the names of her students in fourth grade at Lee Elementary School in Milwaukee. Pretty remarkable. You know.
yep, absolutely. And I still remember the names of kids that I taught, too. It's a special profession, I'll tell you that, and we need to revert to a point where it was a respected profession, and we compensate people appropriately. Act 10 took, you know, still teachers have not gotten back to where they were pre-Act 10, and that is putting them in a difficult position.
Are you concerned that school districts are taking on too much debt? I'm sure you saw the piece in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I mean, the result of, we talked about it before, the result of the state not doing their fair share is many of these referendums. Some of them are for building, I get that, but most of them are not. They're for operational costs. And no, the people of the state have spoken at the local level, and they're saying, we will pay these higher taxes in order to keep our schools strong. And am I concerned about that debt? No. I mean, we would have a horrible system if these people locally hadn't stepped to the plate. So I'm not concerned about it. It's going to increase this next April 4th. We have many other referendums on the plate, and people are going to support them. And so either the state needs to step up, or we will continue to do this. The problem is, Sly, of course, there are places in the state that referenda will never pass. And so as we kind of celebrate our successes locally, there are places that aren't, and we will soon become a state of haves and have-nots.
It's pretty remarkable. I think it was McGuanico might have passed a referendum, and right-wing radio in Milwaukee just ripping them to pieces, basically telling people to call the district and really attack them for spending any money. Yeah. There's a real social pressure in some of these communities not to pass these referendums. You're running for a third term. Why? You could probably easily retire if you wanted to. Why are you running for a third term?
Well, first of all, I love what I'm doing, and I love the people I'm working with. And second of all, we need somebody that's a loud and boisterous advocate for our kids in our public schools. I think I do that well. As I said before, I get into the classrooms of the state at least once a week, and the things I see there are remarkable, and that helps me tell stories of greatness of our schools and our teachers across the state of Wisconsin. It's important work, and it's part of our Constitution, and our constitutional drafters did the exact right thing making this position one that's accountable directly to the people of Wisconsin, and I'm ready to take on another term.
You got almost 70% of the vote in the February primary.
Yeah.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, if my eyes didn't fool me, you even won Ozaukee County.
You'd be right.
that is remarkable. And yet, everybody kind of holds their breath because you know as well as I do, the outside groups could come in with big outside dollars, the voucher dollars, and vilify you through the airwaves, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. That is the issue. I was happy with the 70% of victory, but I can tell you that the folks that have the money nationally that are supporters of the voucher movement they have, I could spend every single day, every minute raising money, and I could not come close to matching the money that would come into the state. So we are not resting on our laurels, believe me.
And if people want to help, what can they do?
Well, they can go to Tony for Wisconsin, T-O-N-Y-F-O-R, Wisconsin, oneword.com. And they can sign up to participate in this democratic process, and they can donate if they so wish.
Dr. Evers, thank you so much for coming on the show today. We appreciate it, and hopefully we'll talk to you one more time before the election.
Thanks, Sly.
All right.
Talk to you again.
Sly'sOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Making stuff matters, because when we make things in America, America makes it. American workers and families make it. Our communities make it. Consider this. For every one manufacturing job in our communities, five more jobs are supported. Manufacturing jobs pay an average of 10 to 50% more than service sector jobs. That allows working families to support their local businesses, schools, emergency services, and more. Creating 2.5 million new manufacturing jobs would mean at least $100 billion for our economy over the next decade. Domestic manufacturing is the green economy. It's among the cleanest, most efficient, and productive in the world. That's why the United Steelworkers and our more than 1 million members and retirees are fighting so hard to protect and grow manufacturing. Because making stuff really does matter. Join our fight. Visit usw.org and like us at facebook.com/steelworkers. Support American manufacturing. Buy American. Buy Union.